Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, does this sound like Australia to you? Well, how about this? I like aeroplane jelly. Aeroplane jelly for me. Oh, it is quintessential, isn't it? Quintessentially Australian. This week, the National Film and Sound Archives are celebrating the sound of Australia. They've named 10 sounds that have played a significant role in shaping our national identity, and they're just a couple of samples of the 10 that actually went in. Joining us is the National Registry of Recorded Sounds Senior Curator, Matthew Davies. And Matthew, that is quite a business card, isn't it?
Oh, I'm very proud of it.
Yes, it's quite a title. Good to talk to you. How do you reduce the national identity down to 10 sounds? It must have been a very tough culling process.
It is quite a challenge to come up with 10 sounds each year that represents the whole gamut of sound recording history in Australia. So we get a lot of help. First of all, we get help from the public, who we call on to nominate recordings in the first place. And then we take those nominations to a panel comprising staff from various cultural institutions, obviously the National Film and Sound Archive, but also the National Library, the ABC, and IATSIS. But we also have representatives from industry, so that's the broadcast and record industry are on the panel, and they each bring their own criteria to the table, and we try to come up with a list of 10 pretty much by consensus.
So how many entries did you receive?
Well, after we take out entries that are sort of non-conforming, a lot of people nominate a particular sound, but they're not specific about a recording, which is very important because it's actually a registry of recorded sounds. Mm-hmm. And also the recordings have to be more than 20 years old. So we get some non-conforming nominations and a lot of duplicates. And we had about 200 unique eligible nominations this year.
Give us an example of what didn't make the cut.
Oh, okay. Well, while Aeroplane Jelly is in, at this stage, the Vegemite song was not in.
Ah, why not?
Well, we had to make it. That's one of those choices we had to make. Now, perhaps Vegemite might get in a future year, but with only 10 songs to choose from, once we've decided that there's going to be one advertising jingle, there's not really room for another.
Yeah, so why 10?
Well, 10 seemed like a useful kind of a number. The you know, it's had a long history with the sort of the top 10 hits, and you know, it just kind of fits. So a list of 10 is something that you know, you can remember a list of 10. Once you get to about 20, it starts to get a bit harder to rattle them all off. So we thought that 10 was a nice, accessible, comfortable number that people could relate to.
Well, a couple of the other sounds that did make the cut were Billy Thorpe's Most People I Know Think That I'm Crazy, the Aeroplane Jelly song, of course, that we just heard, the Bird Song's Call that we just heard before, Waltzing Matilda made it in. Also, some of them were really very old, like this sample from the 1930s Ashes team, so kind of the little recorded letter back home.
Yeah.
Our tour is over, and we are resting in London for a few days before leaving for home. Our thoughts are pleasant ones, for we shall be taking back precious cargo, the Ashes.
The voice of Bill Woodfull there, and Don Bradman comes in a little bit later on. Also, this very intriguing piece from a composer named Peter Sculthorpe. Quite dramatic. What's going on there? Why did that make it into the 10 sounds for this year?
Yeah, well, Sculthorpe is one of our most recognisable composers of serious music, both, I think, to the Australian public, but certainly internationally. This particular recording from 1967 was the first recording of any of his major works to be released internationally, so it was very significant in taking his music to a global audience. The piece itself is very interesting in that it's, I guess, a great example of Sculthorpe's interest in combining Indigenous themes and ideas in with the Western art music tradition, which he represents. His own family history includes Indigenous relations from Tasmania, and he's personally really interested in Australian identity and the relationships between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians, the relationship between the landscape and humanity in the landscape. All of those themes come out in this piece, and this recording by the MSO in 1967 is not only a beautiful recording, but it was one that had a huge impact worldwide in bringing Peter to prominence.
Okay, many people will know this tune as well. No, I'm sorry, Matthew. I didn't even realise that was Australian.
Well, Percy Grainger is perhaps our other best-known composer, but and like yourself, though, a lot of people don't realise that Percy was an Australian, worked for most of his life in Australia, endowed the Grainger Museum in Melbourne as a permanent record of his work here, and if you that's reopening to the public shortly in Melbourne, if any of your listeners are interested in the works of Grainger, which covered a vast range of types of music. Now, Country Gardens was a fairly early piece, relatively simple compared to some of his more complex later works, but it has become extremely popular, and that recording on a piano roll represents the popular music industry as it was before the 20s. The record industry was still in its infancy, and piano rolls were still a very big part of actually getting popular music out to the public.
Matthew Davies from the National Film and Sound Archives is with us. We're talking about the 10 sounds that got into the Registry of Australian Sounds this year. A very interesting collection of sounds, and they're sounds, they're songs, they're bird calls, all manner of bits and pieces. So if we were to think in the next 20 years' time, throw ahead a few years and see what are the current sounds that might actually make it into the archives in the future.
Yeah, it's a hard call sometimes too. One of the reasons we have a 20-year limitation on recordings is it's much easier to tell with hindsight what's going to be truly memorable rather than simply popular at the moment. Mm. But I think there are a few things which are fairly easy calls. Certainly the recording we have in the archive of Kevin Rudd's speech apologising to the Indigenous people of Australia.
Yes, yes.
It's, I think, something that would have to be enshrined on a list like this when it becomes eligible. There's some fantastic music being made at the moment, and in suggesting anything, I guess I'm betraying really my own taste, but lately I think the album by Jeffrey Yanapingu is just absolutely gorgeous. On the other side of things, I'm also very interested in what the Cat Empire is doing. The combination of lots of musical influences from around the world, there's that little bit of turntablism, so it's, you know, quite 21st century, and yet it's in just incredibly accessible pop dance music at the same time. So, you know, I'd be thinking it might have a chance in 20 years' time.
As a curator, Matthew, you must come across a lot of interesting audio material from Australia's past and present. Do you have a favourite sound that for you epitomises Australia?
Well, I'm very fond of some of the environmental sounds. I was really pleased that this year's listing included the Bird and Animal Calls of Australia. As a curator, I guess I'm looking at a collection item, both for it, not only for the value of the sound or music that's recorded in there, but also for its history, its provenance, the kind of artefacts it's on. One of my favourites is actually a little collection from from 1950s Victoria of we call it Howard's Homemade Records. We don't know all that much about its history, except that it was records which were literally homemade. The actual discs themselves are made of homemade lacquer, coated onto an aluminium plate, cut with a recording lathe of recordings around the town. So there's the local community choir singing. There's a recording of the family's first telephone call from overseas. Uncle so-and-so rings up from London, and they spend about 5 minutes going, "Oh, isn't it wonderful? We can hear you so clearly." And I just love this little collection because they're beautiful to look at, they're beautiful to listen to, and it's like an unintentional storybook message from the past, from this little town that paints such a vivid picture for me of what ordinary life was like in the early 1950s in Australia.
Yes, and I guess that indeed is the goal, to in some way collect those items that to remind us of our past. Great to talk to you, Matthew. Thanks so much for joining us.
That's a pleasure, Sheridan. Nice to talk to you.
Matthew Davies there. He's the Senior Curator at the National Registry of Recorded Sound. It's part of the National Film and Sound Archives. They've just released their next batch of 10 sounds that epitomise Australia.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.